President Biden is in the English county of Cornwall for the G7. This is a meeting of leaders of seven of the world's biggest economies. It was canceled last year because of COVID. Yesterday, Biden met with the summit's host, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. NPR's Frank Langfitt is also in Cornwall. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Noel.
Joe Biden and Boris Johnson had never met before. What did they talk about yesterday?
Well, we don't really know because they didn't do a press conference, but the biggest thing you could tell was something symbolic. They talked about reaffirming the two countries' relationship. This is what they refer to as a special relationship because it's pretty long and very deep. And they were talking about this idea of a new Atlantic charter. And this goes back to Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt doing the same back in World War II to fight the Nazis. And Biden sort of suggested that these two old friends, they face a new group of big challenges right now. Everything from rebuilding the economy after COVID to countering Russia and China and their attempts to undermine Western democracy. And this is what the president said yesterday.
We affirmed the special relationship, as is not said lightly, the special relationship between our people, and renewed our commitment to defending the enduring democratic values that both our nations share.
Yeah, one of the things that was really interesting is that Johnson also talked about the country's shared agenda, and he referred to it as a breath of fresh air, and I gotta say, that sounded like a criticism of former President Trump. You remember, they were really friendly in public, but if you actually look at the issues, Johnson and Trump were very different. This is what the Prime Minister said yesterday to the BBC.
It's an incredibly important strategic relationship, and the talks were very good, and there's no question that under President Biden, there is a massive amount that the new U.S. administration wants to do together with the U.K.
On the other hand, Joe Biden has been critical of Johnson in the past. They have differences over Brexit, over Northern Ireland. Did any of that come up?
Not that we heard, but we do know that he's very concerned, Biden and Washington in general, about peace in Northern Ireland because Brexit has created a border between Northern Ireland and the U.K., and it led to a lot of violence, actually, recently.
Looking forward to the rest of the summit over the next several days, what is Joe Biden's main goal?
I think he really wants to reaffirm sort of U.S. global leadership and repair some of these old friendships. If you remember, Donald Trump was very critical of America's allies and sometimes would praise its authoritarian rivals. Let's take a listen.
I think the European Union is a foe, what they do to us in trade.
We're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we're protecting everybody, and yet we're paying a lot of money to protect.
May not be politically correct, but we have a world to run. And in the G7, which used to be the G8, they threw Russia out. They should let Russia come back in.
Here in Cornwall, along England's southwestern coast, Biden will strike a completely different tone.
I know the past few years have strained and tested our transatlantic relationship, but the United States is determined to re-engage with Europe.
Polls show that Biden's rhetoric and policy changes, such as rejoining the Paris Climate Accord, have already boosted America's image in parts of Europe. But analysts here say the U.S. must now find substantive ways at the G7 to address some of the world's most pressing problems, ranging from pandemic recovery to battling climate change. Natalie Tocci runs the Italian Institute of International Affairs in Rome.
We're beginning to ask ourselves questions along the lines of, okay, it's all very well and good that we love each other so much, but what is it that we're actually able to do together? It is going to be important, particularly in the context of the G7, for there to be an agreement on something.
G7 finance ministers did agree earlier this month to a global minimum corporate tax of at least 15%, which critics say is too low. This weekend, G7 leaders will set their sights on the pandemic. On Thursday, Biden pledged to give 500 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine to countries that can't afford to buy enough shots. Rob Yates runs the Center for Universal Health at Chatham House, the London Policy Institute. He says other G7 countries need to follow suit and help fund more factories and encourage drug companies to share know-how to help those places lagging far behind rich ones in their vaccination drives.
If the G7 is going to be serious about global leadership, we need to be taking a whole of humanity perspective and really valuing the lives of people in South Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa like our own. This is going to require a massive effort.
If the G7 fails to take up this challenge to really have a much more equitable distribution of vaccines around the globe, How will that be met in the developing world?
A lot of the developing world would be very exasperated if we don't step up, and we'll look to alternative powerful countries to fill the gap.
Which in a couple of cases would be authoritarian countries, Russia and China.
Well, exactly.
The G7 has already made progress on another big issue, climate change. Last month, environment ministers agreed to climate targets to limit the rise in global temperatures to 1.5 degrees Celsius. That's considerably more ambitious than the previous 2-degree ceiling.
This is a really big deal.
Samantha Gross runs the Energy Security and Climate Initiative at the Brookings Institution, DC think tank. She says technological advances have made the lower temperature target possible.
Wind and solar costs have been falling for years and are still falling. You're seeing battery costs fall and those become less expensive. And so it's becoming easier and easier to decarbonize electricity.
Gross says more action at the G7 could provide momentum for change at two other global meetings this fall, the G20, the 20 countries that make up most of the world's GDP, which gathers in Rome, and the UN Climate Change Summit in Glasgow.
The G20 and the G7, they're small enough to get things done, and they have enough in common that they can work together. And they're also among the largest emitters. If the entire G20 got on board, you would cover the vast majority of the world's emissions.
We are still feeling that pain at the pump over the Colonial Pipeline cyber attack. This gas station right here.
Another challenge leaders are expected to discuss in Cornwall is cybersecurity. Christopher Painter served as the top cyber diplomat at the U.S. State Department. He says G7 countries need to impose heavier political and economic costs on nations that allow hackers to launch attacks from inside their borders.
Countries can work together to use all their tools to try to pressure countries like Russia, either when the Russia itself is doing it as a state-sponsored activity or when Russia is harboring these cyber criminals.
Critics complain that the G7 is long on statements but short on movement. However, in the face of a once-in-a-century pandemic and a narrowing window to tackle climate change, this time there could be more pressure to act.
NPR's Frank Langfitt in Cornwall, England. Thanks for your reporting, Frank.
Great to talk, Noelle.